Na 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 na. Hey! Gotta love that podcast show. Na 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 na. Hey! Yeah, I love that podcast show. Oh, BS and beer is the place to go to get all the Saints news. Hell yeah! Podcast show. Na 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 na. Hey! Gotta love that podcast show. Na 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 na. Hey! Yeah!
There you go, man. Welcome in. It's the BS and Beer podcast crew recording live at the SEC Sports Pub. Tomas Mauricio, Dave Romero. Listen, it's bonus coverage. You know, sir. How we roll. We have lots of stuff to talk about this week. We couldn't get it all in on our radio show, so we have to throw out some bonus coverage, podcast only. This is where Tomas wants to start charging people money. I'm fighting him back. I'm like, no,
yeah,
we can't do it.
Saying, you know?
The man got to make some money.
Got to
pay
some
the
money,
bills.
Brother. I mean, you know.
You know what? There's not enough money coming in from the CamaFed.
Nope.
Or the CamaFloss.
I'm so sorry.
Don Bobo. That didn't work out quite as well as we thought.
I know.
We thought we'd get the donations.
We ate all that chicken.
All that chicken.
And nobody did anything. Man, you know, I gained 10 pounds of chicken feathers.
But we are starting.
Made a couple of pillows.
We have our crack staff over at the warehouse working on a new product.
Oh.
It's some adult diapers sponsored by Matt Ryan of the Atlanta Falcons.
I thought it was going to handkerchiefs.
Yeah, no, we
catch their tears.
That too, man, that could work. You know, you got multiple income. Yeah. We don't.
Man, plenty of income streams.
Multiple income streams. That's what I was looking for.
All right.
Listen, all the stuff that we had to talk about, we couldn't get it all in during the show.
I know.
Listen, you wanted to talk about the additions of the NFC South teams.
That's right. Additions and losses.
Additions and losses.
Right.
Now, I made the comment, and I know this where this comes from, because when I sent you the text with the ideas of the show, you know, talking points and whatnot,
right?
I think the Saints are losing ground.
That's
a bit.
A lot of people think that.
In the NFC.
Not keeping up with the NFC arms race.
Right, right. Yeah. And so, you know, listen, I'm not trying to say that this is some kind of insurmountable problem.
Yeah.
But I do think that some teams have made up some ground, and we have some work to do.
Well, we'll see.
All right. But I tell you what, before we get to that, then we also need to do a little bit of analysis about our friends over in Nashville, Tennessee.
I made
a little mistake.
The Tennessee Titans.
I just made a point. I kind of feel like it's one of those things. I didn't direct it at the Tennessee fans, but I put out a tweet, and I said, I don't understand why Ndamukong Suh would want to sign with the Jets or the Titans and become and go into an obscure situation at a team that's not really a winner. Now, okay, oh boy, the Tennessee Titans fans got wind of that, and they just – they were nonstop on Twitter. I was really just trying to say that, like, you know, listen, you a superstar, don't you want to play for, listen, I get it, maybe not even the Saints. You want to play for the Cowboys or one of the big teams on the coast that everybody's talking about, not go to the Miami Dolphins where it's kind of an average team that may or may not win. And you want to go to a team that's ready to win in a big market. And they did not appreciate that. So I want to spend a couple of minutes after all the insults and the things that they said, and it just kind of blew my mind. I'd like to go over some of that. So,
all right, sir, go ahead.
We're going to start this bonus coverage. Then we're going to start talking about some of these other teams in the NFL. Right.
Thank you. Thank you. And now it's time for the bonus round, where you play in front of dozens of people for tens of dollars. Tomas? Heath, Dave, are you ready? Let's play BS and Beer Podcast.
All right, Tomas, let's start off with the NFC South.
Okay? Oh, okay, we'll start
with
that.
I said the NFC South, but we also have the NFC in general. So I want to go and talk real quick. The Bucks, they went. They signed a couple of guys. Notably, they traded for Pierre Paul from the Giants. And I'm thinking to myself, man, why couldn't we have signed that guy? Or not signed so much. He was a trade.
Yeah,
I think it would have been a nice pickup. Now, the Rams, Tlaib, Peters, and now they signed Suh. The Rams, they're stacking up that defense, and it's going to be interesting. Now, having said that, as much as they like to claim they have the number one offense, and I'm not saying this from a Saints perspective because, quite frankly, I don't think the Saints were as effective as they statistically showed. They weren't very good in third downs. I'd like to see that improve.
They were great
improve.
In fourth downs, though.
They were very good in fourth downs, made up for it, right? Yep. Now, the Eagles signed Michael Bennett. Now, I don't know if he's going to get out of jail in time to be a productive player on the team, but anyway, some good teams there. The Vikings, they get the quarterback, Kirk Cousins, and then Sheldon Richardson signed as well. Those are the top teams in NFC. Well, they all getting a little bit better. The Rams, I'm a little bit jealous, the Rams and what they've done. So now, specifically, and this is what you focused on, which is what we do anyway.
Right.
The NFC South.
Right.
So why don't you go ahead, give me your list there. Let's see who won, who lost from each of the NFC South teams.
All right, here you go. Tampa Bay. They are major additions. Defensive tackle, Bo Allen. A kicker, but they didn't have one. Hmm. Chandler Catanzaro.
Good job.
Defensive end, Vinnie Curry. Defensive end, Jason Pierre-Paul. One-arm bandit. Center, Ryan Jensen. And defensive tackle, Mitch Unring. Oh, I don't know. Their major losses? None. Hmm.
Good for them.
The Atlanta Falcons. Their major addition, offensive guard Brandon Fusco. And cornerback special teamer Justin Bethel. Their major losses. Get ready now. Wide receiver Taylor Gabriel. So they haven't replaced that game. And he was the speed guy. Defensive tackle Dontari Poe. Didn't replace him. Defensive end Adrian Claiborne. Didn't reference him.
Man, their defensive line.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Okay. The Carolina Scamthers. Major additions. Defensive tackle Dontari Poe. So he went from the Falcons to the right. Scamthers. Left guard Jeremiah Searles. Cornerback Ross Cockrell. Safety Denoris Searcy. Wide receiver Torrey Smith. Wide receiver Jarius Wright. Their losses. Left guard Andrew Norwell. Safety Kurt Coleman, who we signed. Cornerback Darryl Worley, and defensive tackle star Little.
Good luck. Good luck with that.
Little. I think that's how you say it. Little too lally.
Yeah.
And then we have our Saints. The major additions: Kurt Coleman in safety, linebacker Demario Davis, cornerback Patrick Robinson, quarterback Tom Savage. Major losses: safety Raphael Bush, quarterback Chase Daniel, offensive line Senio Calamente. Now, to me, there's only one real loss. Senio Calamente, to me. The other two guys, okay. We replace, they don't have on here Vaccaro because he hasn't signed with anybody yet. They don't have Coleman. I mean, they have, and I'd say this for all the teams. Whoever they have on there that are restricted or unrestricted free agents that haven't signed with anybody, they're neither an addition or a loss.
I'm not exactly sure how it goes with a guy who's not under contract, hasn't been tendered, but yet hasn't signed with anybody else. I guess they may not consider that a loss.
Right, because he hasn't signed with
anybody.
Yeah,
well, I mean, obviously it's not much of a loss if they don't go anywhere. Yeah, right.
So this was a list as of the weekend.
Okay.
And so there may have been a few more signings since there, or a few more cuts, whatever happens to be. But looking at this list, to me, the Falcons look like they took some major hits without replacements. It looks like to me the Panthers, obviously they decided that they needed somebody to catch the ball because they signed two wide receivers. So I don't know. They lost Lordelli and they signed Dontari Poe.
Yeah.
So that's kind of like, a wash for them. There, they signed Jeremiah Searles, left guard, and he lost Andrew Norwell. I would say Norwell's a much better guard, so I don't know about that one.
The things that I noticed most from the list, Atlanta first, with the losses on the defensive line, because one of the things, they had a very big and physical defensive line.
Yep.
Now, how that affects their linebackers, how that affects their ability to stop the run, because they stood up to the run pretty well last year, and it allowed the LSU linebacker.
Jones,
to roam around.
And the guy they picked in the first round before that.
Oh, yeah, Beasley. Yeah, more of a pass rusher, but allowed those guys to get after the quarterback, get after the running back. You lose Poe as a huge man and stuffs the run.
Yep.
So.
And Adrian Claiborne played pretty well.
No, and Claiborne, you know, I think he was always meant to be more of a pass rusher, never evolved into that, but he is a big, a good size defensive end.
Right.
And from the Saints' perspective, I think that that really hurts their team. The Saints should be able to run the ball better on Atlanta. I think that definitely hurts them. Having said that, now Carolina, who is pretty much known for having a solid defense, picks up Poe and it improves their defense a little bit, at least stopping the run. Two receivers, here's the thing. Nothing changes until Cam Newton is a more accurate passer.
Never happened.
All these receivers really don't
until
need
anything.
Until
he has a good base underneath him, until he throws the correct way with the front foot rather than
mechanics.
Back foot.
You know, they traded – Carolina, that is – traded Kelvin Benjamin last year, and he's the ideal receiver for a guy like Cam Newton. He's a huge receiver, you know, long arms. He's 6'6".
I never understand that one. He had to be something chemistry-wise.
Greg Olsen, their best receiver. What do those guys have in common? They're huge receivers with big catch radiuses. And they're able to go up and get these inaccurate passes. Now, all of a sudden, last year they got the guy, I can't remember his name. He's from Ohio State. I actually liked him in the second round.
McCaffrey?
No. That was the first round, the running back. They got a receiver slash he was a running back at times. Doesn't matter. He's a speed guy. He's not huge. He's not. They got all these receivers, unless they're the type of people that can muscle a defensive back and get up high in the air.
Because the ball's 2 feet behind them,
exactly,
and 2 feet in front of them, 2 feet
athletic
over their head.
I'm not worried about their ability to pass the ball consistently. Look, Cam Newton's a professional quarterback. He's going to complete a pass on you. He's going to complete several passes. He might string some together and have a touchdown drive. But that's not their bread and butter. They are not going to consistently beat anybody throwing the ball like that. That's right. Not what they do. So all these receivers, to me, irrelevant. It's irrelevant. Yep. So I'm more concerned about getting a guy like Poe from Atlanta who makes it more difficult to run on them than I am about whether Carolina went out and got a bunch. The same thing, McCaffrey, you brought up. You know, to be a quarterback that throws to running backs, you have to have touch.
Yep.
You have to have timing.
Yep.
And he has neither. So McCaffrey – I wasn't a big fan of his coming out of college in a draft last year. Just not a fan of him. Didn't like some things about his game. Didn't like the fact that he wasn't very strong. Having said that, his career, he probably could be a really good ball player. His career is going to be wasted in Carolina, just like these other receivers. They need to stack up that defense and improve their offensive line. I know they signed a guy on the offensive line, but they basically is a replacement for a guy who retired.
Right.
So.
Right.
When it's all said and done, Carolina, to me, hasn't done anything to really help or improve their team. Now, Carolina, part of the reason, and I lose sight of this, is they're in transition right now, and their team is for sale. And so I almost, like any business, if you're about to sell it, you kind of say, whoa, let's say we're not going to buy these assets. We're going to put that purchase on hold. You want to keep things kind of the same. You don't want to, if I'm selling you something, I don't want to go and sign some multi-million-dollar contract with something, then you come in and say, whoa, I didn't want that. So I think this year is going to kind of
–
And it's speculation, but this might be simply kind of a year where you're not going to hear much from Carolina. They're not going to spend a bunch of money. They're not going to do any major things because who knows how the new ownership will be affected by it.
No, I agree with that.
Anyway, so interesting little conversation on the NFC South.
Yep.
I don't see any team that got – I think Tampa Bay looks like they may have done a few things to improve themselves. And the funny thing about Tampa Bay, we talked about, they beat the Saints in the last game of the year.
Yes.
I can give you a bunch of homer excuses, but at the end of the day, they beat the Saints.
Yeah.
They played the prior 2 weeks, I think they played Atlanta and Carolina.
Right.
And almost beat both, should have beat both of them if it wasn't for some mistakes that they made. So they're really not that far away from being a solid team.
No, especially they added defensive end Vinnie Curry. I'm not so much on Jason Pierre-Paul. A kid blew up his hand, has to wear a big old club to play. I'm not sold on that. But Vinnie Curry is a good player.
No, he's a solid player.
And I think he'll do good. And most importantly, they fixed up their kicking game. They lost a lot of games last year because they had nobody could kick the ball through the uprights.
They struggled so long. Didn't they spend a second-round draft pick?
I don't want to hear anybody talk about how the Saints have struggled with kickers. Just go look at Tampa Bay.
Tampa Bay, yeah, they have had their problems with kickers. So
you're listening to the BS and Beer Podcast. Now back to your two yats and a coon ass.
All right, so Ben Watson signs, and kind of the source of a little polarizing, maybe it's just me. I'm not excited. Now, I get it. Listen, let's get this out of the way. And matter of fact, it makes it even tough to criticize it because of the fact that you have a guy who's a great human being. He's been a very solid player throughout his career. Matter of fact, last year, over 50 receptions, 4 touchdowns in the Baltimore offense. I get all that stuff. Having said that, I kind of voiced my disappointment. And there's, listen, I get it. I work with Tomas every day. You kind of want to find the silver lining in everything that the Saints do. And I'm not saying that this move is a bad move. Having said that, it's disappointing. Here's the thing. The guy's 37 years old. I said early in the week, I thought he was like 34, 35. I was way off. I mean, the guy's 37 years old. Now, can he contribute? Absolutely. Where the disappointment comes in is the fact that once you sign Benjamin Watson, you're no longer in the market for a free agent tight end. It, to me, the Saints obviously shook all the bushes, rattled the trees, beat the concrete, however you want to say it, and they couldn't come up with anything that was a more viable option as a free agent or even in a trade, perhaps, at tight end. Now, and then when you say that, I've read on Twitter and the fans are saying, well, yeah, but we're going to draft one. I get it. We're going to draft one anyway. There's no doubt in my mind. But in free agency, and to me, as I've said on the show many times, our biggest weakness is third down conversion. The easiest way to help that improve is a better receiving tight end. Now, Benjamin Watson, statistically, he had more receptions and yards, if I'm not mistaken, and maybe even touchdowns, than all of the Saints' tight ends combined. That still doesn't mean it was a huge upgrade. It just means that our tight end situation was pretty pathetic last year. We found production in other areas throwing to Kamara. Michael Thomas was a beast. And the guys stepped up that we didn't even expect to. Having said that, it's disappointing. Listen, this is a Super Bowl-ready team, okay? The younger guys, forget about last year. Because what you saw last year, these rookies from last year, who will now be sophomores, are going to be 35% better. And that's, generally speaking, in the NFL, the biggest jump is from year one to year two. So I expect this team to be better. Not to mention, we talk about injuries. Injuries are part of the game. But you have to believe that the Saints aren't going to be the most injured team in the NFL again. So going in that direction, you have to believe the Saints will be a viable contender for the Super Bowl, and the best we could do in free agency was a 37-year-old journeyman tight end with 50 receptions last year. So I know the Saints looked to sign Jimmy Graham, and you know there's no doubt in my mind that they looked for trade opportunities, that they discussed things with some of these free agent tight ends that were on the market and just realized that the value wasn't worth what they would have to pay for it. I get it. So it's in no way am I blaming the Saints. They have to come out with a good player, and there were none available at a price that was reasonable or made sense. So the best that they can do was Benjamin Watson. Now, Benjamin Watson will be a contributor. He's a good player, but let's not be mistaken. He had his career year with the Saints. Having said that, if you go back, and I said this a couple of years ago when he was with the Saints, his production, he didn't beat anybody. He didn't dominate anybody. Most of the yardage was kind of garbage yardage. So, and I know I'm going to catch some flack for that, but go back and look at it. See how many games we won. Now, I'm not in any way saying it's his fault, but I am saying that he's not a guy that now just created new mismatches for the Saints offense. He's not a guy like that. Now, is he better than what we have on the field? I would say absolutely. So did we improve? Yeah, we improved, but did we actually improve enough to take another step? And that's where my problem is that it's disappointing. Do I think Benjamin Watson is going to help the team? Yes, he's going to help the team. Did we get discernibly better? And that's where the problem is. And the answer to me is no. We did get better. Yes. Did it move the needle enough to say that now teams are going to have to, we're gonna have less coverage on Michael Thomas or Kamara out of the backfield? No, that didn't change that. We now have a capable guy who knows the system, who's a solid guy, who can catch the ball, great locker room presence, but he's not going to move the needle. Now, There's no doubt in my mind that that tight end is still in play. And I hate even saying still in play, because he's in play for either a first-round pick or a trade-up to somewhere in the mid-second round, or, you know, trade down, however they want to do it. But generally speaking, the Saints don't trade down. So what I'm looking at is picking a guy with the first pick and then bundling up some picks to move up in the second round to get a tight end. No doubt in my mind, because in the second round, there's going to be three or four guys left, because I'm sure a couple of them will get picked at the end of the first round and into the beginning of the second round. There'll be two or three guys there that will help the team immediately, maybe not, but with, you know, by midseason. And, you know, Ben Watson is a good midterm. Now, let's look at the Saints tight end group as a whole. You got Fleener, who, listen, I know a lot of people don't like him, but to me, the reason I don't like him is because he never lived up to expectations. And I get it, because I'm not a huge Fleener fan. Having said that, if we keep Fleener and we have a first-round pick that develops, now all of a sudden you roll two tight ends out there, and Fleener's now, instead of being the focal point at tight end, he's now kind of an afterthought. He's still a good player. And he proved it against the Washington Redskins. He can still make plays. He drops too many balls. Or to me, it's not so much the balls he drops. What gets me about him is how many balls that he loses when he's contested. If there's a guy around him, it seems like he cannot, like, make the tough catch. But, let's say you have other viable options, even if you want to consider Watson on one side and Fleener on the other. Now, all of a sudden, Fleener's not covered by the better safety or the better linebacker, obviously not a cornerback. Now, all of a sudden, Fleener's covered by the fourth or fifth best cover guy. Now, all of a sudden, he gets open, and you start wondering, like, man, how did this guy become so productive? Well, all of a sudden, he went from being the best guy to the third guy. And I don't know if he was ever the best guy, but understand the analogy if you follow me. So I think that the situation we in as a whole, Josh Hill, I still have confidence in him. Matter of fact, in the playoffs, he played his best football. So he's a viable, solid tight end. Then Fleener, I already explained that. I think that Fleener can still help the team. Now, you know, it's still up in the air. The concussion thing is, I think most people aren't taking into consideration. I've heard rumors that he's had a bunch of concussions, and it's not a matter of the Saints wanting to get rid of him, but he may not be able to return because of the concussions. And in addition to that, the Saints might be concerned that, let's say they do like him as a player, 3 games into the season, he takes a hit and he's done for the year. So these are things the Saints have to look at. And being, if he's not available, it's not going to help the team. So as a whole, Watson, Hill, Fleener, and then a rookie, I don't know if the Saints will carry 4 guys, but I really don't see them cutting Josh Hill. Who, man? Probably gone. But I don't know. The Saints have kept 4 tight ends in the past. This will be an interesting situation. But if we get one of those guys in the, let's say, second round, this is all hypothetical, one of those top 5 guys in the draft, pair them up with Watson and Hill, I do think our tight end situation now is improved, and we are where we will need to be. My whole point through this whole thing was just the signing of Benjamin Watson was disappointing, because I had hopes of somebody who would be what I would consider more of a long-term solution, solid fix. Maybe, let's put it this way, maybe Benjamin Watson, when he was 30, would have made me more excited about it. So anyway, there's my thoughts on the tight end situation. Let's hit a quick break. We'll be right back.
We interrupt your regularly scheduled programming for more BS and Beer podcast.
Tomas, you know, generally, I'm not like an advocate for like justice and things like that, but there's something that's near and dear to my heart. It's been going on for a long time. Apparently, the federal court says that females, I read this, the females now can expose their breasts in public.
That's right.
Now, I read that. I saw it.
And now you're overjoyed.
Listen, you got to understand, I spent many years dedicating my time to this fight, this cause. I can't tell you how many spring breaks where I was there offering free breast exams my hours that I dedicated my time to the FBI, you know, female breast inspector.
I'm sure it was.
Only to find out later that it actually was fake news, and I mean, disappointed. Is this disappointing? I saw it on Twitter, and then somebody had to come up and point out that it wasn't real news. It's very disappointing.
Well, I'm very sorry for you, but you know, for myself,
I'm a Sir Mix-a-Lot man, but that's okay.
You like them big butts?
I can't.
All right. I got you. See, I got you.
I can't deny.
Now, that kind of, I think we're dating ourselves when people are like, who?
Who's that guy?
All right. So let's get on to my conversation, my interaction with our Tennessee Titan fans. As I was saying earlier, all I was doing was pointing out. It's one of those things where you kind of at a bar somewhere and you're talking to your buddy and you say something and then somebody overhears you and then you spend the rest of your time saying, well, I didn't really mean to insult anybody. I was just trying to make a point. But having said that, after the Tennessee fans started lighting me up, I mean, and they were brutal. Yeah. I mean, everything from picking on my mustache to, you know, the airbrushing pictures.
Photoshop.
They didn't let me have it every which way. But here's the thing. So one of the points they were making is, well, the point I was making is that they're irrelevant. And then they're like, well, we made the playoffs. Okay, listen, I'm not saying you make the playoffs. I'm saying that if you did a poll, I would have to imagine that they would be one of the top five most irrelevant teams. And what I mean by irrelevant is nobody's interested in listening to them or watching them play. Nobody's interested. Like they're the team that you don't want to watch on Monday Night Football, but you expect to see on Thursday Night Football where the bad games are. Just whatever it is about Tennessee, like literally – okay, I'm sorry. I dozed off there. If I start talking about Tennessee, I just fall asleep. There's nothing about the team that's interesting.
Well, if I may interject.
Absolutely.
I believe that what we're looking at is you're looking at a team that has a small market, looking at a team that doesn't have any real star player that people would say, oh, I got to watch that team because, you know, they have Joe Blow playing, you know, at quarterback.
Right.
You know, it's not that I don't like Mariota. I think he's a good quarterback. But look at the statistics. When you look at statistics, he's not a top five. Hell, he's not even a top 10. You know, you're not talking about Drew Brees. You're not talking about Aaron Rodgers. You're not even talking about the two new kids, Goff and Wentz. You know? And, okay, they complain about, well, you know, we couldn't have a good offense because we had to fire a coach. He wasn't any good at coaching. Anyway, fired the offensive coordinator. And the defensive coordinator, he was an old fart. You know, he doesn't know anything, right? Well, you can make all those excuses you want. Now, but the bottom line, and we know because New Orleans is a small market team.
Right.
Okay? So we understand being a small market team. If you don't have a – we have a star. We have Drew Brees. So when we get on Sunday Night Football, Monday Night, whatever it happens to be, people go, hey, I'm going to watch that game just because I want to see if Drew Brees breaks a record.
Right.
Okay? So it's a big difference between that and the Tennessee Titans. I'm very sorry, but they just don't have that kind of – star quality. Well,
and that's
then,
it.
What I had said to you before, you know, they all get wound up about Sue Studio. Okay, well, I'm going to tell you. What was Sue looking at? He didn't care about the team. He didn't care about what defense they played. He didn't care. He said, I'm all about the Benjamins. I'm just looking at money. But at the end of the day, he was also looking at TV coverage. That's what
exposure,
he was looking at.
Exposure.
That's right.
And that was kind of my point was, again, going to a team where you don't get exposure because you're not winning or you're not – and so one of the things they brought up is they made the playoffs last year. So then I went over the record. And, I mean, completely unimpressive.
Yeah.
Wins, losses, five losses against losing teams. And I think that's not necessarily true. I think it's four losses. And they had one really close game with the Browns.
Yeah.
And so I threw that in there with the losses. But the thing about it is like, okay, and they think they're on the precipice of being the new age. And this is literally things that people are saying.
Yeah,
is they're
yes.
on the precipice of being – the hottest team, and it's like, listen, teams like that are, and look, I feel like I'm being arrogant saying this as a Saints fan. Listen, we can go through the same struggles when Drew Brees is over. So this isn't about I'm a Saints fan. This is about the reality of, as an outsider, someone who's unbiased, of what I see in Tennessee is they didn't beat anybody specific. They lost to most of the good teams they played. They actually beat Jacksonville twice, but at the beginning of the year or even midseason, would you have said that was some kind of accomplishment?
No.
So Jacksonville evolved and their defense stepped up and Tennessee actually beat them twice. So, you know, but for the most part, they didn't really beat many teams with winning records. They lost to bad teams. They backed into the playoffs at 9-7. Just not something that you could say, oh, obviously I see something that says we're going to be the next great team. Then they say, well, as soon as Drew Brees is gone, then you guys are done. And I'm like, listen, so I went and I had to look up Mariota and see where he's at. Because to me, you know, not being a guy who follows even the AFC. To me, the Saints first, NFC South, then the NFC, and then the AFC's last in what I follow.
Yeah.
So I go look up Mariota. Out of 32 teams in NFL, last I checked, he had the 37th passer rating.
Yeah.
I mean, every stat, and I put maybe a half dozen stats out there, just nothing about him says, I think in 2 years they'll acknowledge that they made a bad decision or he didn't develop, and they'll be looking for a new quarterback too. Now, they have some good players on the team. So it's not like they're not capable of winning. They're not a bad team. That was never the point. The point was more of what you made.
Yeah.
Is that these guys are small market team, like New Orleans, and I keep feeling it necessary to be – I never at any point was trying to pick on these guys. It was, like I said, it was a conversation that I thought was between me and Saints fans who follow me on Twitter.
Right.
And they got involved and got very offended. Having said that, if you're going to start talking – how great you are, and you know you need to back it up. So we going in there, we looking, and these guys, I mean, just a lot of stupid talk about stuff that's just completely inaccurate, you know?
Well, again, I go back and say this. Sue was not looking to sign with a team that he thought he could be a star on and he could put the team on his shoulder. That's not what he was looking to do.
No, he's not looking to build a team.
No. Sue was looking for who's going to write me the biggest check, who's going to guarantee me what they write me, and how many times will I be on TV? Okay, so when the Jets came forward and said, hey, we're going to pony up some big bucks, he was like, oh, the Jets are definitely in this now. The Jets were only in it money and because they're in New York. That's it. Figure it out. If Cleveland would have come up and said, hey, we're going to match New York Jets money, he would have said, Cleveland's not in it.
Right. No. If he came up with $20 million, you might have been like, well,
money?
Let me rethink this. Yeah. But, you know, you were probably I bet you the Saints were probably somewhere around 12 or 13.
I don't even think they were that high.
Well,
I really don't.
And then you have the Tennessee Titans do have a lot of money under the cap. And
I think the Saints probably offered was a 2-year deal for $23 million. I'm figuring that's about what it was. You know, $11 to $11.5 million a year.
Okay, something like that. Yeah. I mean,
and that would have been a top dollar, and that would have put us in a bad place, but it still would have been a 2-year deal.
And that's, you know, we're getting into his contract. Yes, the amount of the years was the biggest issue. Yeah. Same thing kind of Drew Brees contract. You know, you got to get those extra years, spread the money out.
That's correct.
Yeah,
that's
so, correct. But the thing about it is Tennessee had the money. I don't think he was ever serious unless they were going to pony up significantly more money than the Rams. The Rams were basically the ideal place for him in the sense that he's going to get the exposure, and they had the money to be able to throw at him for a one-year deal. All right.
BS and Beer Podcast, the worldwide leader in absolutely nothing.
Let's switch gears a little bit, talk before we close the show out.
All right.
Sean Payton and some of the comments.
Yep.
One of the things that he talked about was Marcus Williams and how special he was.
Yes.
Now, I think it's important, and we talked about this at the end of the year, with the way that he gave up that big play against Minnesota. What's lost in it is that he had a phenomenal rookie year.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I mean,
and earlier in that game.
I mean, so that's not the question. Now, I think I hate to see it. Matter of fact, it's just, you know, you even see it from the New Orleans media, and I know it's not their job to prop up a player or whatever, but I just don't know why, if you're going to write a story about Marcus Williams, because Sean Payton talked about him, then there's immediately two or three stories up on the different newspapers.
Right.
And the picture is going to be the picture
of
him standing.
Yeah.
Why? Well, I mean, like,
didn't they learn a lesson from Beak? Maybe they want to get, you know, sent to a different newspaper.
Here's the thing.
And goes to the St. Louis Dispatch.
I'm not saying they have to prop up a player. I get it. But the media will sit there and tell you, like, oh, man, this will define a kid. And they'll write a story like how it shouldn't define him. But yet they're the ones who are going to put a picture.
Yes, exactly.
Everything they
Why
have
don't
to
they
say about
him. Put a picture of the interception.
Yeah, put a picture of this. Or just put a picture of him running onto the field.
Yeah.
Put a picture of him pregame. They will create a narrative, and this just drives me bananas about the media. I get it. We're on the radio. Having said that, our stuff is opinion. I don't consider myself a journalist. I try to be accurate with what I say, but we're entertainment, man.
No,
we're here to talk Saints.
My other show, I am not a journalist. I'm a conversationalist.
Yeah, that's right.
That's what I do. I have a conversation with people.
I like that. That's what we're here to do. Start a conversation, talk about things. I don't profess to be a journalist, and I'm not. But the media, they are journalists. And they'll tell you that, well, you know, you gotta hope that this doesn't define him. But what will they do? Every single thing they do is going to go back to that one moment.
Right.
I mean, and they won't let it go. They right. won't ever let it go. And then they'll 3 years from now, when they never let it go, they'll write a story about how it never went away. Yeah. It's like, it's just the
because you didn't let it go.
Yeah, right. It's because you never let it go. It's like, I don't even care about it anymore, man. It's like, I moved on. We have a great safety. He's young. I'm worried about how we can assign him, Lattimore, Rankins, yeah. and all the other people all yeah. at the same time. That's what I'm worried about. I'm not yeah. worried about what happened on that play.
Well, and then Coach said that, you know, he's working hard. He's the kind of player you want. He's the ideal player. And then he said, I hope he's not overtraining. Now,
right.
when I heard that part, I was thinking, oh, yeah, you know, I mean, you don't want him now to do things that's going to change the way that he plays. You know, he's going to be thinking that he's doing something to better himself. And in effect, you know, it's like we talk about as a musician. You know, we talk about be careful about what you do with long muscles as opposed to short muscles. You know, you don't want to be all bulked up because right. if you're all bulked up, then you can't really have
can't
that
move.
Same kind of movement.
Absolutely.
Exactly. You know?
Flexibility.
So,
yeah, yeah. Analysis by paralysis by analysis.
Yeah.
You don't want the kid out there overthinking everything, and this is where
right.
when you constantly remind him about this thing, it gets in your head. And it's.
I don't think it is, though. I think that he's just, you know.
Well, and we don't know until it happens, yeah, but it's the catcher that can't throw the ball back to the pitcher.
Yeah,
you
got the
yips. Yeah, you got
the yips. On the
yeah, yeah. So and yips. Let's hope that doesn't happen. But and again, I know it's not the media's responsibility to take care of this guy, but at the end of the day, we all know what happened. I mean, why does every pitcher, everything that his name is associated with, why do they have to pick that moment to relive constantly? Like I don't care, and I'd like to believe I have my finger on the pulse. I think most everyone else in Saints Nation has moved on from that. They're like, yeah. hey, there's still that percent that probably, he's you know, no good, and they don't know what they're talking about. Then there's the group of people who immediately were like angry, and then they got over it and said, he's great, he's young, he'll get over it.
Right.
But the media's going to keep hounding this kid until.
Yeah. And you know, and I can understand if it was the media in Atlanta or the media in Carolina.
Right, right. Oh,
or the
absolutely.
Media in Tampa Bay,
because that's what they
people.
Would want.
Yeah,
is
the
to,
people we're playing against. They're in a division, okay? But your own home team paper should not be, you know, putting that out there. I mean, in my opinion, but okay. What else did the coach have to say?
All right. So the next thing that I thought was interesting is he didn't just have good things to say. He kind of gushed over Lamar Jackson, the quarterback from Louisville, Kentucky. Heisman Trophy winner, not this past season, but the season before. And he talked about his leadership. I know that. Now you're talking about back in my day, man. If I could tell you the stories about that guy. He was a Heisman Trophy winner. He played well. He's an impact player. Big plays. He's athletic. And it worries me. Although now I'm starting to see mock drafts with him. He's going before 15. You know, going into the top 15, top 20.
Ridiculous.
Thing about it is, I can't help but feel by the way that Sean Payton talked about him is that there was some legitimate, like, appreciation where if he got close enough, and the Saints felt like – because, okay, this is all predicated on the idea that the Saints would be looking for the heir apparent for Drew Brees this year.
Mm-hmm.
I don't necessarily know or think that they might move up and spend a lot of resources to get high enough to get that guy. But I'm not convinced that if a guy didn't drop to them that they wouldn't say, well, let's forget about the tight end in the first round. We're going to get that quarterback that we like. And I am not a fan of Jackson, not because of anything other than – I just have not seen a lot of successful athletic quarterbacks. You talk about RG3. Their problem is that they use their athleticism and they get hurt.
Yeah.
So it's not that they're not good quarterbacks. Same thing with the kid in Houston. He's a winner.
Watson,
thank you. He's a winner. He was effective. He came in there and just lit the world on fire. The problem is that you get accustomed to that, and you're like, man, and the next thing you know, he blows his knee out because he's running around getting hit. Let's even use Wentz. Wentz is not really your stereotypical athletic running quarterback.
No, he's athletic.
He's athletic, and he did make a lot of plays running the ball when the plays broke down.
Yeah.
And what happens? He goes in there and blows his knee out. Now, lucky they have Brubby Brister to pick him up.
There you go.
And now move on, and you still win a Super Bowl. Having said that, that's not the situation that you want to be in is having a quarterback that – I mean, listen, you can. I know there are people going to disagree with me, and they're going to be upset with me because you don't want a quarterback because he's athletic. Man, I mean, can you imagine building your entire offense around a guy that's
– Now that, you're coming that, to it. Now you're coming to the right conclusion here.
And then all of a sudden he – well, thank you. I'm glad you approve of my conclusion.
You're coming to the right direction here because he could not come in and run the current offense. He's not going to run this offense. They would have to build an offense around him. It's not going to be this Sean Payton offense. And I'm going to tell you right now, I have, here's 2.0 right in front of me. Okay? On 2.0, he's not drafted in the first round at all on my 2.0 draft. So I'm going to say to you right now, Dave, we come to number 27. And on 27, on the board, you have Jackson, the quarterback from Louisville. You got Hubbard, the edge rusher from Ohio State. You got DJ Moore, the wide receiver from Maryland. Who would you pick? Would you pick Jackson, the quarterback?
I, like I said, I'm not a fan of his. So I would say no.
Not me.
I mean, I think, first of all, I think we can still, we don't need to spend a first round on a tight end because it's deep enough where they have to move up from the third. I don't think you can wait, especially 27th in the third round. But to me, and I guess I'm kind of going a different direction. What I'm trying to say is the Saints need a tight end, and they need to get one of these tight ends in the draft, and they're going to need a mid-second rounder to get one of these guys. So with the first rounder, get that defensive end, get a receiver, get the best player available.
But to get a second round, they're going to have to give up a 3 and a 4 this year and a 3 next year. That's what they're going to have to give up to get a 2 this year.
Probably. That sounds about right. And I mean, it's not unlike the Saints. Listen, to sit here and worry about what they can give up, they do it every year. Yeah. They move one way or another, give
something
up.
Don't we have 2 fours and 2 fives?
We have 2 fives and 2 sixes.
Oh, I'm in the wrong
way. Yeah. So, but I feel what you're saying. You're going to have to give up something.
Yeah, they give more up than likely, 2 this year and 1 next year.
You have to give up something next year as well. So, but there's no way in the world. I cannot believe that Saints will go pick 27th, then wait all the way to the bottom of the third round to pick again. Can you imagine? I can't see it.
Well, the tight end pool is really big.
It's deep.
I'm not going to say that it isn't. And you know,
and
tight
it's cold.
Ends, and the tight ends aren't a big pick for most teams.
No.
You know, so it's not like if you've got the top five tight ends, they may, one of those may well make it. Maybe two of those may well make it into the third round. Simply because teams don't value,
no, I understand
tight
what you're saying
that way.
I
you know,
I feel
running
what
backs
saying.
Have made a comeback.
Right.
Okay. So if you're looking at the draft, most people, most teams are going to look at the few to need quarterbacks, boom, those are going to be knocked off at the beginning. Then after that, what do you think people are going to be? What positions?
I
do
mean,
you think
I don't. I'm not
at?
Saying I disagree with you, Tomas.
You know, it's not going to be tight end.
I don't. I'm not saying know? I disagree with
so,
you. But what I am saying is that I'm not willing to take that chance.
Well,
that
I understand what you're saying.
Position is huge, a huge need, and like at some point, if you want to get one, and I guess you could do with what I do with that that mock draft simulator.
Yes, yes.
Is you look at those guys and you say these are the ones I want. But I'm not going to trade until two of those three guys are gone. When that second one leaves the board, I'm going to pause it, and I'm going to trade up. You know, yeah. Do you play with the simulator?
Yes, yeah. I did after you showed it to me.
Yeah, and man, I'm telling you, when you're sitting on the couch, you're
but
bored,
I don't
man.
Use it to do my thing. You see, like I haven't used it at all so far this year because I don't want it to taint my ideas of what I'm doing on my draft picks.
Okay, but you know? But yeah, it's a great way to pass time, and man, once those – top two or three tight ends go off, I say, well, that's the next guy.
Well, I
and
understand.
I'm trading
I'm
up and I'm getting them.
That there's like two really stud ones, I think, of the tight ends. And then the next five are kind of pretty much even. You know, and so when you're looking at, and I'm telling you, there at least I believe there are five to seven tight ends right now that are being drafted.
I agree with you.
Make teams.
And the guy who stands, you know? the guy from Penn State,
Gesicki,
athletically, he stands up above everybody else, but he's not necessarily better than they are. And I mean, he has the potential to be better. So I'm not hell bent on getting him, even though he's head and shoulders above the rest athletically.
I don't think he's head and shoulders though. That's the thing.
No. It's not in question, Tomas. He's head and shoulders better than them athletically.
Yeah.
His numbers prove that out. But I am saying that he's not necessarily better than them as a player.
Yeah.
So my point is that I'd like to get them, but if I have to give up a first round to get them,
no
I'd rather get that edge guy and then come back in the second round
that's what
and
I'm saying.
Get
me,
one of the other guys.
To me, as I, you know, my first 1.0 had Goddard from South Dakota State.
Right.
Because I thought at that point when I was doing the research, I thought he was the best guy. Then I came back and said, well, you know, looking at how I'm going to crunch things now, we've got some, this is after the first set of free agents were signed up and everything. I was like, ooh, that changes us over here. And so as I started doing, I was like, damn, you know, this guy from Ohio State, the edge guy, is going to fall to us.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's why I have him there. Now as we keep moving forward and we see what's going on, and there's still going to be a few more deals done as we go along here. So, you know, Buffalo's still in play. So we'll see how it goes. But it could well be that, you know, we have a good wide receiver.
Well, that's the thing. Wide receivers are deep. Now, there's only a handful that are potential first rounders.
Yep.
and maybe you have one who's a top 15 guy, the kid from Alabama,
Ridley.
The rest of them, you can get good value in the second and third round at wide receiver. So it's one of those things like it'll never happen. But here's my draft strategy. But it's pretty much my draft strategy every year, especially with no second. I'd like to see the Saints move down from the first round into the second, move up from the third, and get themselves somewhere two picks within like 30 to 60. Instead of right now, we have 27, and off the top of my head, somewhere like 85, 80, you know, because it's 27th.
I had it written down somewhere.
27th in the third round. Yeah. But I'd rather have two guys where now you could get, hypothetically, the only reason I wouldn't trade out is if an edge rusher that we feel could improve the team. Here's the thing you got to consider. He's got to be better than what you feel that Muhammad is going to be, what you think that Hendrickson is, and what you think or at least project for Okafor on his return. If the guy in the first round that's an edge guy, in order for you to pick him, he's got to be better than those three guys, or at least better than two of the three. Or why are you spending a pick on him? You're not getting better if you already got a guy who's just as good, if not better than him. Yeah. So if that guy, if the Saints don't feel he's there, trade back a little bit, you know, 10th, 12th pick of the second round, move up in the third, use that ammunition that you got to move up in the third round. Now you can get a receiver and a tight end or, you know, or whoever it would be. But the point is, that's where the value for the positions the Saints need, that's where the value is in that second round area. Ideally, I would love to see it work out that way. It never does. The Saints don't ever trade down.
Man, but it'd be a miracle if they did. Right now, according to my list, they picked 27th in the first round, 91st in the third round.
Gotcha.
123 in the fourth round, then 139 and 155 in the fifth, 175, 187 in the sixth, and 219 in the seventh.
All right.
So that gives you an idea there. But I understand what you're saying. I just don't see them trading down.
No, they don't ever do it. So I know they won't, but that's what I would like to see.
They could certainly get a two this year and a two next year. I would play this year and next year rather than, you know, because you never know. I mean, we can build up the team next year, too. Who's going to be in the draft?
No, I agree with that. And whatever resources you get, I'm just saying that, like, man, you start talking about 20. That's almost a fourth-round draft pick. You know, when you're talking about, what was it, 91. You get to 91, I mean, you're almost talking about a fourth-round draft choice. So, you know, I just like to see them be able to get two quality players, even though they may not be able to get the one big-time player. I'd rather get two positions that we really need at this point before we sign anybody at wide receiver. Who knows if we even will. The Saints could very easily get to the point where it's not worth the value.
Here are my top five tight ends.
Okay.
You tell me if you think any of these guys are going to be around in the third round. Hayden Hurst from South Carolina.
He might be my favorite.
Mike Gesicki from Penn State.
Athletic.
Mark Andrews from Oklahoma.
Good all-around tight end.
Dallas Goedert from South Dakota State.
A lot of potential.
Dalton Schultz from Stanford.
I mean,
these are my top five tight ends.
I feel you, and I like that top five. There's no way if I'm the Saints that I could be sitting –
You don't think any one of these is going to make it 91?
I don't know that. I'm not going to sit here. I'm not that guy. I'm not going to sit here and act like I know whether or not. I'm not Mel Kiper. I'm not going to predict
it. You get it wrong if you were Mel Kiper.
Whatever
he picks, you go against.
You see my hair lately?
Yeah.
You see my hair lately?
Uh-huh. Using a lot of that product.
My point is that those five guys, 90 picks, I think they're all good players.
Yeah.
I could easily. I mean, you're talking about the bottom of the third round.
Yes, I understand. I understand.
Personally, no, I do not think any of those five would make it. Again, it's just my opinion.
Mm-hmm.
Who knows what the NFL teams would think, want, need. But, man, you talking about the third round. You get down to the middle of the third round, you still got 15 picks before you're up, and four of them are gone. How can you do it? I mean, as a person just observing and following the team, I'm sitting there looking at the draft board, and I'm losing my mind. Like, oh, man. And once he goes, now
No, I understand what you're saying, but, the draft is – you were just in Vegas. Hey. The draft is a crapshoot.
It's a crapshoot.
You know? Yeah. I mean, you just never know. Like last year, who would have thought that Lattimore would have been on the board when the Saints picked? If you and I would have been – and we did. When we were having that conversation, we never thought.
I didn't even know much about the guy because I'm like, I'm not wasting my time on –
Well, I mean, I know a little bit because I do the draft
Well, that's
things,
what I'm saying. You know? But I don't spend a ton of time reading about guys who are top –
I never thought he'd make it out of the top six.
Yeah, I'm like – I haven't spent much time looking at the – top quarterbacks in the league. Haven't spent much time the running back from Penn State. I haven't spent much time looking at him because he's not getting to the same. So the point is, and that was, I'm talking when the Saints were drafting at 12. Now they're drafting at 27. You like start saying, man, I'm not going to spend a lot of time reading about these guys. I'm going to read about these guys and really get to know who they are because they have the much better chance of getting a 27. Then you start finding that guy that, like, oh, what if he could slip? But those, you know, Lattimore was never going to slip to 27. You know what I mean?
But he wasn't supposed to slip to 11 either.
No, definitely wasn't.
And
definitely
then, you
wasn't.
Know, the guy that we did pick at 31 wasn't supposed to be at 31 either.
No, Ramczyk wasn't supposed to be.
You know, he was supposed to be going in the top 20.
Absolutely.
So, again, we had two players fall to us last year that shouldn't have been there. And then.
Oh, man, we had a lot of players fall.
And then we pick up Kamara, which is why we don't have a second. Now, I'm willing to give up this year's second for Kamara.
Yeah,
no,
when people complain about that, Dad, think about what you're complaining about. Yeah, I'd give up the second for Kamara
any day of the week.
Right.
Yeah.
I mean, if you look at it, and even with Williams, you're talking about, like, the Saints essentially got four first-round draft choices.
Absolutely.
Like, and here's the thing. How many times have first-rounders, they don't work out?
That's right.
So not only did we get you know, you follow me out there. How many times you get four first rounders and all four of them pan out?
That's
yeah,
right.
You know what I'm saying?
They all make the team and excel.
Yeah, exactly. So no, I mean, and that's why we were in the position that we're in. And I say this, even if we don't sign, even though I'm not trying to advocate not signing guys, the thing more than any team is you're going to see these huge improvements from those guys and more.
Yes, you know, absolutely.
So the year one to year two jump is usually huge.
And
now,
2 to 3, same thing.
Maybe you got to.
And maybe year six with only six games under your belt might be another one that might change.
Yeah, like peanut butter and jelly. Yeah. All right. Well, you got anything else?
I have a lot more, but I know we're going to come to the end of the show.
Yeah,
end of the bonus round. Here.
I think that's about all the bonus coverage.
And what's that hotline again in case people want to call?
In case you want to call us, we'd love for you guys to be part of the show, interact
one
with us.
1 minute only.
Well, yeah.
Keep it clean.
Under a minute. Keep it clean. That's 701-901-1295.
There you go.
Give us your Twitter real quick.
BS and Beer, who dat?
And mine is at SaintsBS. Follow us. Man, listen, I'm on Twitter constantly. And so I love anybody.
I sort of backed off a little bit off of it, but I'll probably get back on it again pretty soon.
And I just, you know, listen, you follow us, send me a message, man. I'll talk Saints on Twitter all day long.
Yep,
I love it. So anyway, for Tomas Mauricio,
yes,
Heath Elson-San, I'm Dave Romero.
Nothing.
You've been listening to the BS and Beer podcast. We'll talk to you next week.
Later.
Now you know the rest of the story.
Good day.
Oh, hey, Ethan, did you hear that Dave, Tomas, and Heath have a new podcast out this week?
No way. That's really cool. We should write a song for it.
BS and Beer is the show. BS and Beer is the show. To find out what Dave, Tomas, and Heath really know. Gotta love that podcast show. Gotta love that podcast show.
Place for Saints football news.
How convenient. Thanks, Dave.